And we're live.
It's top down time.
Hell yeah, TDT.
Yep, you know it. The TDT signal has been shone onto Gotham City's cloudy overcast sky.
Yeah. It's actually pretty nice here today.
Yeah, super nice here as well. Real hot. Yeah. I got the fan blasting.
Yeah.
But you've been sick all week.
I have been since like Saturday. I've been.
That's rough.
And it's a type of sick where like you're just laying in bed, like every now and then watching something on your phone on YouTube or something. But otherwise, just like dead.
What was
to the
it?
World.
Like the flu?
Like a stomach flu. Yeah. I'm still getting over it. So a little shaky eating here and there. But well,
that sucks. If was I have, like it, where you're like, if real you see achy? Me run.
Real achy, more than anything, just like running to the bathroom every like half hour to see like if something comes out, but not sure. You know,
I have luckily not had any kind of like bathroom related illness for quite some time. Knock on wood.
Yeah, the last time I felt this sick was I think I got food poisoning like maybe 7 years ago. And sure. It was like only for a day. So the last time right. I've been sick for like this for like 3 days was probably since I was a kid.
Yeah, that's a long time. That is definitely a long time for sure.
Yeah, still a little shaky. So if I like mute to cough or like something, you'll know why. But we're good now.
I think John's not here this week. He is taking care of his wife who just went through surgery. So. Yep. Best wishes to both of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, how other than being sick, you said you were watching some stuff. You watch anything cool worth talking about?
No, I'm gonna check out that Hamilton. I think keep talking about that, so I'm gonna check that out. But no, it's just been kind of like whatever. Like between fever dreams, basically on YouTube, nothing too special. We're rewatching Community right now, so that's kind of the thing we're doing here. Yeah, that's right on.
I watched the Eurovision movie on the weekend. Okay.
Yep,
that is a bad movie.
Yeah, it looked like it probably was.
It is okay at best. I will say, I want to say a few things. First off, Rachel McAdams, why are you doing this, man? You're better than this.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell, I understand why you're doing this.
Yep.
Rachel McAdams, you're much better than this. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'll also say some good songs in there.
Sure.
There's actually some decent music that they, you know, fake sing in there. But yeah, that is just a bad movie. It's not great.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'm really looking forward to this Palm Springs movie that's coming out this weekend on Hulu with Andy Samberg, and I don't know the actress's name. I don't think I've seen her in anything, but it's getting like really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, like a good movie, a good new movie coming out is phenomenal as far as my quarantine movies have gone. So I am unreasonably excited for this movie I don't know much about.
Sure.
I'm planning to watch that. We are planning to watch Hamilton at some point. I'm not the biggest musical guy.
Sure.
So I'm not, you know, champing at the bit for it. It's also, isn't it like 4 hours long?
I hear it's quite long.
Well, didn't you watch it? Oh, no, you said you're going to watch it. You're going to watch it.
Yeah.
I know it has a built-in intermission.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah. So yeah, that's probably gonna happen at some point. My girlfriend's seen it live, not the original cast, but the play and stuff. So I don't think it's like super urgent.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
To watch it right now.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyway, let's do the podcast because this is the Top Down Perspective for July 9th, and I'm Sean Booker.
I'm Paul Fleck.
Did you get to play any games, Paul?
I did. I finished Blaster Master Zero 2 because I was about halfway done since we last talked anyway.
Does this include the DLC that John was talking about last week?
Not, Not yet, no. I actually just picked that up yesterday night, so I'm going to play that at some point this weekend, maybe before
sure.
the plethora of stuff that comes out tomorrow.
It is. I did like a quick rundown about what I'm wanting to play. So Deadly Premonition 2 is tonight.
Yes.
Which
also that's Curse probably, of the Moon 2.
Oh, is that tonight?
Well, it's tomorrow.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. eShop. Yeah. Okay. I'm probably not going to play that. So that's thank God. And then next week is Tsushima and Paper Mario. But what also just came out on consoles, including Game Pass, and what I was originally going to do was Switch until it announced Game Pass, CrossCode hit.
CrossCode, yeah.
Like yesterday. And that's like a 40-hour RPG.
Is it that long? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it
is. Wow.
And I've heard nothing but like phenomenal things about that
game. Yeah.
I just had an extra 40 hours on top of these other three long games. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, for sure.
This is crazy.
Also, I didn't talk about this. Like, sorry, go on.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I didn't talk about this a few weeks ago when it was on a free weekend, but I played Fallout 76 when it was on a free weekend to see like that big update they did. And the like that game's okay now. And that's free now on Game Pass.
So. I just downloaded that on Game Pass today.
So I'll probably play that again.
Watch that.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for co-op games that has co-op, obviously. So my buddy and I will go through that.
Yeah.
But it's funny because all the games that I had listed off, they're not even like big names. I guess like, big names in terms of like what a normie would know about. Mm-hmm. They probably may have heard of Paper Mario. So like when I have some friends who are not like super into games are asking me like, oh, hey, what are you playing? What are you looking forward to playing right now? And I'll list off like these 30, 40 hour games and there's like five of them or whatever. And they're like, I have no idea what any of that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Halo 3 comes out in like soon, I think, too, on the Master Chief Collection for people that are into Halo. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Halo games are short. I mean, I'm not gonna play Master Chief Collection again. But anyway, you were talking Blaster Master Zero. Is it still the best thing in the world?
Honestly, I see why it was on John's top 10. It is very good. That is a very good game. It has this stupid anime story that like ends in a stupid way. Good music, because that's kind of like what all these older like throwback games do, is that they seem to focus on the music first and foremost or something, because they're always very, very good. And like it's the same Blaster Master gameplay, but with some additions that make it faster and a little more like movement oriented. You can do like more stuff in it, and it's very, very cool. Yeah, there's nothing much to talk about in terms of the gameplay, because it plays again like Blaster Master, but like a updated version of it, and it's just very, very neat. I really, really like that game a lot, and I definitely see why it was it's definitely a John game for sure, but it's just a good game all around for sure. Very, very good.
Cool. Last week you were playing through Deadly Premonition. Did you do any more of that?
I haven't gone back to it this week. No.
Okay.
No.
Have you been
if I'm going to?
You don't have much time if you're planning to play 2 right when that drops.
Yeah. Yeah. No. 2 is probably going to be.
Were you following any of like the preview stuff when the reviews dropped yesterday?
No.
Apparently, the frame rate is terrible.
Oh fuck. That's kind of like the one thing I was really hoping they would get right.
Then there's some weird controversy about whether or not the developer did or did not say we are not going to fix the frame rate.
Oh, weird.
That's under question. Yeah.
So like they straight up said we're not fixing. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I pre-ordered it a couple hours ago so I could get the preload. But yeah, sorry, your question did they should have said it. It sounded like someone asked, hey, are you guys planning on patching and fixing the frame rate? And they said no. But then I was hearing other words of like the publisher went back and is in talks with the developer about that.
Oh,
So I don't know. It's anyway, the weird. Review scores are all over the place, which that's kind of what I would want, right?
That it sounds true to form, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have been actually a little suspect if it was like, yeah, every place gave this 10 out of 10. It's like, really? What? Why?
I mean, I would be extremely curious. Like, I would, even if I hadn't bought in at that point, I would need to have been bought in because I want to know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
In that scenario, I would assume everyone who reviewed it was a Deadly Premonition 1 fan, and
yeah,
2 is just hitting it out of the park in the exact way you want it to. That's what I would assume, because I would not expect Deadly Premonition 2 getting 10 out of 10s to be because it is actually like a really good game with like a super well done story and it looks gorgeous and yada yada yada.
Yep. Yeah, man. Weird time to be alive. Deadly Premonition 2.
Yeah, I can't believe that still happened, man.
Somebody says apparently it looks like a game from 2005. Oh, so it looks like a game that came out like 7 years before the first one. Okay.
I mean, that first one also did not look great.
That first one looked like an old game when that came out. Yep.
Yeah.
So
this is very interesting. Mm-mm. All right. Yeah. Anything else you've been playing?
No, that's it.
All right. I've been playing a few things, like finishing The Last of Us 2.
Sure.
I will say, I think I like the story in the first one more.
Yeah, for sure. Did you feel like I did, where it just felt a little too long? To me, it just felt a little too long.
It didn't feel long in the terms of like, I'm tired of playing this. Like, let's just get it over with.
No, but that it could have been ended earlier.
I think it should have. I think the last quarter, there's like a whole chunk in the last quarter where it's just like, I don't agree with what any of these characters are doing right now.
It feels almost tacked on for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. We're planning on doing a spoiler cast because I definitely want to get in and talk like beat for beat with some of this stuff.
Sure.
I see what you mean about the hospital basement section, and I think you are only a big fan of that because you like Resident Evil. That's what I came.
That
away
part
from
is
that.
Horrifying.
It was scarier for me because you had hyped it up so much as this terrifying thing. So from the minute I was going in, I was like, oh, fuck this game. But then it's just really kind of like the end of it. That's like the super scary part. The rest of it is Last of Us. So
sure.
You made that a lot worse for me than it could have been, for the record.
Great.
I like that game a lot. I think it's a really well done game. And I want to talk more about it. I can't say anything.
Yeah.
Good time with it, though. Very good. What else am I playing? I started a little game called Little Orpheus. This is on Apple Arcade, and what caught my eye is it's by the Chinese Room.
Oh, okay.
So developers of
Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Everyone's Gone to the Rapture, Amnesia, Machine for Pigs. This just kind of stealth dropped. I don't think anyone's expecting the Chinese Room to be putting out an Apple Arcade title. But it's interesting. So if I had to like pick the genre, like puzzle platformer, it's like a Limbo in terms of like character. You're running from left to right at all times. You got to climb on top of some boxes. You got to like pull some boxes so you can get to a rope that's a little higher up. You know, there's going to be a part where there's something watching you. So when it turns away, you got to run to the next thing to hide behind. You know, it's all the typical things you'd see from a puzzle platformer, kind of making me think like, have they just kind of run out of ideas for what you can do with this specific formula? Because they're all kind of samey.
Yeah. Like, you know, at some point, there's probably a light you have to hide from or like.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, you're getting chased by something. So you just got to keep running and, you know, you're jumping up and the ground's like collapsing behind you or whatever like that.
Yeah.
You know, I still think Playdead is like the top of this. They do the best. Limbo and Inside, I still think, are the best ones. What's kind of nice about this one and different about this one is it's not like completely gray and black and just depressing.
Sure, that's cool.
Yeah, this is full of color, which is nice. It also has a bunch of voice acting, which is probably the best part of it. So you play a like Russian like cosmonaut who it's set in the backdrop of like you're being kind of interrogated by like the commander and you're telling the story of what happened and you play that story. It's split up into episodes, which are kind of fun because they have like title sequences at the beginning that kind of look like a James Bond, like Tintin-esque title sequence and stuff. I really like the aesthetic with that place. And the music's just real fun, and the accents and the character voices are fun, and it's kind of goofy. But the premise is you crash landed your like spaceship in a mission that was to go beneath the surface of the Earth to where you found a whole new civilization, and there's dinosaurs and stuff down there. And so, you know, you're like running away from T-Rexes and stuff like that. And I'm only in chapter two, so I've played maybe 45 minutes of the game so far. There's 8 chapters, so I'm expecting it to be about a 4-hour game.
That's pretty substantial.
Pretty good. Yeah, for sure. Pretty kind of on average for the length of puzzle platformers, it seems like, at least in this span of it.
Yeah, sure.
But again, I really just kind of enjoy hearing the commander and your main character conversing and talking to each other, because you're saying all these crazy things and the commander's like, oh yeah, there was dinosaurs down there, are you taking me for a fool? And you know, there's funny Russian accents and whatnot, and it's pretty enjoyable. One thing that is kind of a bummer, despite the kind of heavy focus on this story and this narrative, there's no subtitles.
Which
that's weird. A bummer. Okay. Like, it's a phone game.
That sucks.
You know, it does do the thing of like, hey, this game is best experienced with headphones, which I feel like at this point, every mobile game says that. You should just kind of know without saying. Every game wants you to listen to it.
Yeah.
But no subtitles. That's weird. It's not super responsive. There's a lot of times where, you know, I'm trying to jump and it seems like he's jumping a little bit afterwards. It's not a huge deal because it's a mobile puzzle platformer. So there's not like some actual like split second platforming you have to do, but it just feels a little sluggish. There's times when I'm, instead of tapping to jump, I'm wanting, it's like doing the hold thing. Like if I'm beside a box and you hold on the screen to hold the box and then you can drag the box, but I'm trying to jump on the box, he'll sometimes grab it. Like it'll interpret my tap as a grab. So there's some finicky stuff like that. It does have controller support. I haven't tried that one out yet to see if that's more responsive. But in terms of like the production value on this, I'm certain this is going to come to like Switch and PC probably in like 6 months.
I'm excited for it. I'll definitely check it out.
It's interesting. I don't think it's like the best of these. Like if you've played Limbo and Inside, those are the best of these. But it's something different in this space, and I can appreciate that. So I think it's something. And I've also just kind of been like a little pretty lukewarm on Apple Arcade the last few months. It's been a while since one has really piqued my interest. So it's kind of nice that they do have some stuff still on the way that is interesting.
Is there a weird flesh monster thing that you can buy from the real doll makers for this, though?
Not yet, but I haven't seen the whole game, so maybe, who knows?
Hopefully one day.
The last game I've been playing this week is West of Dead. It's another Game Pass title. And this is a roguelike. Very similar kind of like outside of the actual gameplay in terms of like the ancillary stuff. Very similar to Dead Cells. Like, I'd be surprised if they didn't like cite Dead Cells as how to do a roguelike. I say that because like you have a flask that you can use, you know, once a run. You can upgrade that flask to use it more every time. You're collecting sin, but it's the equivalent of Dead Cells souls. So every time you go back to the base in between levels, you're like cashing in those souls to activate other like upgrades that will appear throughout the game. And they even like pop up right there if you want to use them right away, much like Dead Cells when you first first unlock them. You know, you go to the right side and there's a excuse me, a guy who will fill up your flask and your health. It's like dead cells through and through. You know, you keep going back to that place after each level. Your character has a flaming head. So he even sure. looks a little bit like the Dead Cells guy. But the gameplay is different. The gameplay is a dual joystick shooter with a focus on like a dodge roll that is pretty key. So, you know, you'll enter each of the kind of combat rooms. It'll be mostly dark. And one thing I'm a little confused about is whether or not you can hurt enemies when they're in the dark. I thought you couldn't, but sometimes it seems I can, or maybe it's because they're just on like the edge or something like that. But you kind of want to get to where the like lanterns are hanging. Light the lanterns, which will kind of shine light on a circular area in the room. If any enemies in that, they'll get stunned, which is also nice. So a bit of a risk reward for kind of getting away from the cover and going into the middle of the room. And then, like I said, once they're unlight, you can hurt them. Which does suck, because if you kind of have turned on all the lanterns and there's an enemy who's in the dark, you can't hurt them, I don't think. Which, that's annoying. You don't have to, like, finish the room to continue on. You could just, like, go past the enemy. But again, I do really think I am getting something wrong with the whether or not you can hurt them or not in the dark, because sometimes it seems I can, sometimes it can't. So, anyway. The dodge roll is kind of a big thing. You can dodge around, you can, like, you know, slide on top of the cover. Cover's a big thing, and you get into it basically just by going up to the cover, and your character will kind of duck down behind it. Cover can be destroyed. The covers, it's obviously super useful, but it's a little finicky about sometimes when your character chooses to go into it, because it's not like a button to get in there. You just need to get like close enough. But sometimes it seems like you need to kind of push up against it. So it can kind of be, you have to kind of really be careful about, am I in cover or not? Which is hard to do when you're looking at a bunch of enemies shooting you and you're focusing on that. The aesthetics are all like gunslinger meets like Dark Souls-y. So you look like a cowboy version of what's the Nicolas Cage movie? It's the Marvel one.
Oh, Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. So you look like a cowboy version of Ghost Rider with a big poncho. And all the enemies look like either kind of like the first level or like the basic enemy are like military vet guys from that era with rifles. But then you quickly get into like huge dudes with like big cleavers and like weird skull dogs and stuff like that. I haven't gotten past the second level. I've gotten just before this. I got the final boss down to like one health, and then it killed me. And oh man, did that suck? Ooh, that sucked. But you're picking up different weapons. Each weapon can go on one of the triggers, and then you also get two special abilities for the bumpers. The weapons are pretty fun. You know, there'll be different revolvers or shotguns, and you can get, one of the abilities can just be like an axe that you throw at someone, which is pretty cool.
What's your go-to loadout so far?
I like having like on my right trigger some kind of pistol that will auto fire, like just go through all six rounds holding it down. And then on my left, I've only gotten it once, but I got a shotgun for that, which was super powerful. Most of the time it ends up being some kind of rifle, but something I have to press for each bullet that's more powerful.
Right.
So I like that. And then my favorite ability so far has been that axe that you throw that does a good chunk of damage. And then there was just straight up a shield you can unlock that just like halves the damage coming to you.
That sounds pretty cool.
I will
cool.
say the cover can get destroyed. It'll come back after a few moments. Like it'll just kind of like grow out of the ground. The reason I died on that boss is I got stuck in the ground, like growing up from underneath me. So my character didn't move the way I thought it was. So like I said, there's some weird stuff with how like magnetic-y you are to the cover, which isn't ideal. I also think the visuals are, it's a little hard to read kind of what's going on sometimes. They're just so like high contrasty. There's such an emphasis on
like that.
Yeah. There's such an emphasis on like, we want things to be black until there are bright lights. Then you can see inside that cone of light. It can make things hard to see. The mini map, I think, sucks, which is a bummer. It's not a huge deal, 'cause you can just press start and see like a good map. But the mini map that you're kind of looking at all times as you're navigating the space, and much like Dead Cells, you kind of want to clear out the whole area before you move on, because There are chests that get you different items. There's upgrade things exactly like Dead Cells that will increase either your health, your attack, or your abilities. Like, that's exactly Dead Cells. Like, this game is so Dead Cells in terms of how it's a roguelike. So it's a lot of me pressing start to look at the map because the mini map is just not that useful and not easy to read, which is a bummer.
Yeah. Like I'm watching the announcement trailer or whatever for it, right? Maybe not announcement, but like a trailer for it. It's very hard to read some of this stuff with like the dark blacks and like some enemies being like moving in them and stuff. It seems like it could be very hard to read sometimes.
It's hard. I don't know if I'm willing to say the game, like, it's unfair in how hard it is, because I'm at the point of this roguelike where, of course, I'm dying pretty early on every time because I kind of need to get my sea legs before it's like, oh, I can go through the first like three floors and no sweat. Because right now I'm still struggling with that second stage. So I'll probably play more of it. Again, it's on Game Pass. I am enjoying what I have played with it. It's just like, it's just a bit, it's kind of rough.
It looks very Gungeon-esque in how it moves, specifically with the dodging and shooting back. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's not top-down like Gungeon, but in terms of Gungeon's also a dual joystick with a dodge roll. So that's probably a pretty good.
I see the cover is actually huge. You need to use that.
The cover is definitely the big thing because everyone has a gun, so they can hit you pretty easily.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm still excited to play. So,
that's all I've been playing. Let's do some news.
Yeah. Do it.
All right. First up, Evo Online. Evo obviously was canceled this year and switched to an online-only event. Yeah. That has since been canceled, mainly because one of the main people behind it was a scumbag.
Yeah. Also, the Smash community, as of recently, has been kind of torn apart, where found out that a whole lot of Smash people are huge scumbags as well. So
the wake of the stuff we were talking about a week or two ago in terms of the harassment online and ill-treating of our fellow man. This is basically part of that. The co-founder and CEO's name is Joey Mr. Wizard Cooler. Okay. I'm going to say is how you pronounce that. There was allegations of sexual misconduct against him. He has since been removed. I'm not sure in what capacity entirely or not. But up to that, companies were consistently pulling their games, which kind of forced EVO Online to have to just kind of close its doors.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat pulled itself. That was the main one. I think, was Street Fighter even part of it, or did that get pulled as well?
Capcom definitely pulled whatever their involvement was. And then after that, everybody else did too. So.
No, okay, that's what I thought. Street Fighter V actually wasn't a part of EVO Online, because its net code was never even good enough to be considered.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So it's easy for them to pull out.
The Them's Fighting Herds also pulled out. That was another one of the games that had a good net code that was a part of it.
Okay.
What are we looking? Bandai Namco joined the developers that are pulling, which meant they took taking out Tekken 7, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and Soul Calibur 6. Yeah,
those are huge, too.
Yeah. So they basically lost all their games and said, okay, we can't do EVO Online anymore.
Yep.
Going forward, Tony Cannon will act as CEO in this position. He will take a leadership role in prioritizing greater accountability across EVO, both internally and at our events. So pour one out for EVO.
Yep. I guess.
We'll see what shapes up to be next year.
Good. Get the garbage out. Get some good guys for in sure. there.
Yep. We talked about a few video game properties getting movies and TV show properties. Another one, I saw this basically after we finished recording last week. My Friend Pedro is getting an R-rated TV series by the creator of John Wick.
This makes sense to me because, like, while I didn't mind that game, it definitely seems like it would be more of a weird, like, visual medium than a good game. So, sure.
I wasn't a huge, huge fan of that game. If you want to hear our full thoughts on that game, there's a TDP Plus episode all about it.
There is.
Anyway, the writer of the first two John Wick movies and co-writer of the third, Derek Kolstad, is the one working on it. I don't know. I guess I thought before I had known it was the John Wick creator, I would have been like, is it going to be the Rick and Morty guy? I guess I kind of went the other way with it. More okay. Like the banana thing. But I guess, I mean, the gun action makes sense for the John Wick connection.
Yep.
I am curious how they will do the banana thing. Because that's kind of like the only real, you know, interesting part that sets this game apart.
Yeah. And it's weirdly a spoiler to say why, so you should play that game or listen to us talk about it at length.
Well, I mean, the banana's in the trailer, so people know there's a weird banana thing.
There's a banana thing, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like that game enough to be excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens when it comes out, for sure. I'm not holding my breath.
We got the date for the next Xbox Games Showcase. This is going to be the big kind of first party one where we're going to see more Halo Infinite. Kind of this, theoretically, they're pulling out all the stops for this one. Hopefully it's as exciting as the PlayStation one we got a few weeks back. But this is going to be Xbox focused, obviously, July 23rd at 9 a.m. Pacific.
9 a.m. Pacific, I'm adding it to my calendar right now, so.
Yeah, and, you know, there will be a Summer Games Fest pre-show that the Xbox account even mentioned, so maybe there's some tie-ins with Keighley doing some stuff, maybe some extra news or something. That starts an hour before 8 a.m. Pacific.
Cool.
I'm excited. Speaking of which, the Ubisoft one is this Sunday.
It is. Wait, this Sunday? You're right, the 12th. Also, Devolver Direct happens Saturday.
Saturday. Yes. Yep. The Sims is getting a reality TV show. I did not put the right link here.
Yeah, I just clicked on it. It was like, oh, that's... Wait.
So let's talk about what we did click on. We got some PS5 box art.
Yeah.
Let me look up that Sims thing real quick while we talk about this.
So we got the box art for Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, and it kind of looks how you might assume, only it says PS5 instead of PS4 on it. So if you've ever seen a PS4 case, it looks pretty similar to that, or like a DVD, basically. I don't know.
I think the big takeaway is it's white along the
top. It's white.
I mean, so the box itself is blue, just like the PlayStation 4 boxes, but instead of like the blue top where it says PS4, it's white. I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, I don't think I like it either. It looks cheap.
I was gonna say it almost looks like a placeholder.
It does, yeah. Also, I just don't like that cover art. I think that cover art's really lame, but yeah. Like, nothing about,
I think I'm okay with that
part. Nothing about this box art is like, oh yeah, that's awesome to me. Like, it actually looks like placeholder art, and like for both the PS5 logo area and for the main area.
I guess I can kind of see that. Yeah, it's like the no detail in the background, I think, is what's doing that, in my opinion. I don't know, just something about the white. The white with the blue box. Like, I almost wish the box was like gray or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. What if it was black with white lettering? Like, what if it was inverted? Would that do anything for you?
Maybe. I'd probably have to see it. I'd probably have to see it. I kind of wish it was, you know, I actually wish it was like significantly different than
me too.
Than before. Like, it's so similar. Which, like, because I already have a bunch of boxes that look like this. And it's kind of nice on the shelf when you see, like, the change. And they look all different. You can kind of tell, oh, those are those ones, those are these ones. So I kind of wish it was a bit different. But I guess the PS3 ones weren't super different. After they switched to this logo style, they were all pretty similar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah,
guess we'll have to also see what Xbox looks like. All right, now let's talk about The Sims getting a reality TV show, now that I found that link again.
All right.
It's called, isn't it called, yeah, Sparked. The Sims Sparked, S-P-A-R-K apostrophe D. They're getting, 12, Sims streamers to come together, and then, on teams and stuff, they have to, do different challenges within The Sims 4 for a 4-episode reality competition show starting this month. It looks like it's based in the UK, I believe, based on, the accents I was seeing. But maybe it's just those streamers that have those accents and they brought them over. I don't follow The Sims that much.
Yeah.
I don't know. You going to watch a Sims reality TV show?
Probably not. I've watched probably dumber shit, so who knows?
Yeah, they have to... I don't exactly know what the challenges will be, but they have to, here's your computer, everyone sit down and do whatever we ask, but in The Sims. Yeah, seems weird.
Yeah.
Seems maybe super weird. I don't know. It's something different. I would never have thought of this.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Anyway, so that's a thing. I don't see any word on when exactly it is airing. And this site wants me to change my cookie settings, so I'm not going to go into... Oh, no, the pop-up went away. Host Owen is a Sims fan and was a 2015 American Idol finalist.
Okay, there you go. So he knows.
Judges include Sims producer Dave Sim Guru Ninja Miotki and singer voice actor Tyler Parks. If this means anything to you, you can, let's see, it will be broadcast Fridays at 11 p.m. on the American TV channel TBS from July 17th through August 7th. They will also be streamed the following Mondays on YouTube and the BuzzFeed multiplayer channel.
Great.
I'm trying to see if I can get any of the names of the contestants.
Yeah, I'll probably check this out, honestly. At least one. I have to see what this shit is.
Yeah, you should. And
this could be the new tester.
And let us know. Anyway, that's a thing. That's a thing I was not expecting to see.
Yeah.
All right, this got announced today. Super hot.
Yeah.
Is getting a sequel. This started as basically some free DLC they were going to put out there, but it eventually turned out to be, I think I saw the metric was 4 times as long as the main game.
Yeah, just some DLC.
Yeah. And if you have purchased Superhot before July 16th, you will get this sequel for free.
Yeah.
It's called Superhot Mind Control Delete. You have to have purchased a copy. So if you got it through Twitch or Games with Gold or, the Epic Game Store as a free copy, that does not count. You will not get the sequel as a free edition. But it's PC and consoles. I read for owners who have it on GOG, Steam, Epic Game Store, PlayStation 4 will see Mind Control Delete automatically appear in their games libraries within days of July 16th. Xbox One players will get a message with a code to download the new game for free. For Switch, I think I saw something on Twitter that said you had to email in a copy of your receipt.
Oh, weird. Huh. Probably because they don't have access to a back-end API or something, right?
I'm going to say probably because Nintendo can't get with...
They don't give developers that access, probably. Weird.
Otherwise, if you just want to buy the new one, it is going to be $25, which is definitely not a great deal. If you're interested, you should just go buy Superhot right now and get them both for whatever Superhot costs, because it's definitely cheaper than $25.
So on Humble right now, it is $10 on sale. So I definitely recommend that. I'll quickly load up Steam and see how much it is on there, because we're during a Steam sale right now, so it's probably $10. You should play that game anyway. Superhot's very good. It's unlike any other game out there, really, so you should definitely pick up Superhot if you haven't yet. That's kind of a bummer that they don't give it to you if you were given it through Epic or something. It's also $10 on Steam, just as a heads up.
Well, they're trying to make some money.
Yeah, true. I find it funny that they're like, yeah, this is going to be a free update. Oh, Lord, it's way bigger than the original game.
All right. And last bit of news.
Yeah, I don't think I know what this is.
Limited Run Games announced just a complete plethora of physical games they are working on right now. There's over 30 of them. Some pretty big titles in here.
Wow.
Stuff like, you know, Curse of the Moon 2 that comes out this week, we just mentioned. What else is on here? Katana Zero, Kunai, My Friend Pedro, Observer, Papers, Please. There's a bunch. That Samurai Jack game is, I guess, getting a physical version.
Uh-huh.
Which I think that game's going to be bad. The Mummy Demastered is on here.
Oh, Episode 1 Racer coming out tomorrow. Hell yeah.
So just a whole bunch of stuff. If you're a, you know, a collector of these, you should definitely check out the full list.
Yeah.
Some have release dates. A lot of them are just to be determined.
Cool. Yeah, that's a big list. Damn.
All right. Let's do some questions. If you want to send in questions, it's topdownperspective@gmail.com, at TDP Podcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's P.O. Box. This first one comes from Barry. Do you guys think that Paper Mario, the Origami King, will be good or not?
As a person who hasn't played any of them, I think it will be the best one. But no, I have no idea.
I have no idea either, obviously. Those last two I didn't really like. So I'm really hoping Nintendo kind of took some fan feedback and did something good with this one.
What was the last one? Was it Sticker Star or something like that? Is that the one people keep complaining about?
That was the 3DS one. I think the last one was called like Color Mix or something. Something around that.
Okay.
Color Splash. Okay, I was pretty close.
So what makes the new ones bad or whatever? Because people like never shut up about the GameCube one or like, what is a Thousand Year Door? Like,
yeah, which those ones I haven't actually played. I haven't played the original ones. And specifically, yeah, everyone talks about Thousand Year Door. They just kind of got away from as much of the RPG kind of mechanics, made it more like action-y or whatever.
I
also just remember, I can't remember a ton about the Wii U one outside of, I remember it being really cumbersome in the combat. The user interface was bad. There's a lot of talk in the chat right now about what's wrong with those ones. People are saying Color Splash had good writing, and people are saying it had bad writing. I remember the Sticker Star being extremely too long, and I also got annoyed that a lot of the bosses, you needed like a very specific sticker to beat them. And instead of like making sure you had that item before you went to fight them, you could just end up in the fight and just bang your head against it, and before realizing I have to go do a whole other part of this level. Anyway, it was a long time ago. I haven't played those in a bit. I just remember having a bad time. I'm hoping this one's good. If I hear good things, I will pick it up.
Sure. Okay. Corey writes in and says, what game that you have beat that you wish you could get your time back for? Sounds like a familiar question. Okay, what game have we beat that we wish we could get our time back for? All right, I'm going to say it. I wish I could get my time back for basically at least over half of Death Stranding. That game was...
Interesting, okay.
Really long. And, like, didn't need to be for a lot of it.
I'm trying to think, like, because like the first thing my mind goes to is like a game I didn't enjoy but I still beat, and that's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's really coming to mind in that case. But another one that I am liking, but it's just too long, and I'd get so much time back if I hadn't played it. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is really long.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I mean, I'm enjoying that game, so it's like I don't need that time back necessarily, but it's just it's used up so much of my time. I would get so much time back if I just erased it from my mind.
Sure.
And life. I could do so many other things.
Sure, yeah.
Trying to think if there's anything else. I kind of wish I had stopped playing Gears of War Tactics sooner.
Sure, I could see that.
Like, that game is really good, and then it goes downhill so fast, but I kind of kept muscling through. I didn't finish it, and I stopped my Game Pass PC subscription because I didn't want to finish it. But there's a good solid, like, 5 to 10 hours in there I could have just had back. I would have been fine with not having played those repeated missions again.
I completely forgot about that game, honestly.
All right, Kevin has a couple questions. First, what are some games with unfair difficulty that you still think are fun?
Unfair difficulty? I mean, my mind automatically goes to the old arcade games that were made to, like, suck quarters, basically, and then ported to console. So they're still very difficult, but they're, like, fun.
Sure.
So NES hard games, people call them, I guess, the old school games like that.
One I had quite a bit of trouble on, but still enjoyed, was Remnant from the Ashes.
Remnant, yeah.
There was a few scenario times in there where we would get to a boss, we would just get wiped, and we just kept asking ourselves, like, are we not supposed to be here, or is this just like a get good moment? And every single time it was a, you just gotta get good. So we ended up playing those bosses over and over again until we could just, like, almost did it without getting touched.
God, I hate that last boss.
You just, like, figure it out.
Of that game. God, I hated it.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's only bad if you're playing co-op.
Yeah.
And a second question from Kevin. What's a good gateway strategy game? To be clear, I really do mean strategy and not tactics.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't, like, know if any of us really play that many strategy,
like,
games.
Like Civ,
that aren't,
I guess. The Civilization games, probably.
I was going to say, like, Halo Wars.
Okay.
But if you're looking for a recommendation from, like, the Total War series, I don't think we are the right people.
Oh, like Warhammer Total War is fucking great. If you like Warhammer, okay, stuff, it's extremely right good. So that game is dope. But yeah, no, I think the general consensus is the Paradox games in general, right, are, like, top of their class or whatever. So, Europa Universalis games, obviously Stellaris, Civilization, those types of games, I suppose. But I don't know. I like more arcadey strategy games. So I like the old Warcraft games, like Warcraft 3 or whatever. Or StarCraft. Like, I like real-time strategy stuff, so that's more my jam. I mean, but the real answer is probably chess. Play some chess. Get
what?
Good at chess.
That's such a bad
game answer. It's an age-old game.
Okay.
All right. PVZ Amps writes in and says, what game genre do you refuse to touch at all, no matter what people say? I think that's a silly thing to do, but I'll feed into it and say F1 racing games. I just don't care about F1
sure,
racing.
Yeah, most simulation racing. This is hard because I don't think I would refuse to play any kind of game. But ones that I just have, like, no interest, really, like sports games that aren't just weirdly crazy, like a Mario one,
Like,
yeah, simulation racing. That's not going to really do much for me.
I'm pretty legit when I mean like NASCAR or F1 racing where you're going in a circle. I kind of don't mind like the Forzas where there's like at least kind of cool tracks or whatever. But I do not want to drive around in a circle.
Again, though, like if someone like gave me that game,
I'd play it.
And, you know, I I'd play it. I wouldn't just be like,
I know
that has not come in this apartment.
No, bad. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't play a ton of strategy games. What else? Hunting games. Don't play a lot of hunting games. I don't play much of the like simulator stuff or like any kind of the simulator stuff, really. Except, I guess, Goat Simulator.
Yeah.
But just, you know, a lot of the ones that are like super slow on like on purpose, like they're supposed to just be like, no, this is farming. This is how farming's like.
Farming Simulator is legitimately great. That is a good game. But yeah,
I'm not saying these aren't good games. Just saying stuff I don't have much of an interest in.
Sure. And that you would refuse outright to touch no matter what anybody says. Yeah. I just like how this question is phrased. Just like such a petulant, like, no, I'm not going to play that genre.
Gun to my head, you better kill me.
Yeah. Pull the trigger, you won't.
Is it me? Linebeck says, how important is the first case in a mystery game in getting you invested into playing the rest of it?
It's huge. I have to care about these characters and like what's going on in this world.
I think it's huge. I think I would expand this outside of mystery games. The first anything for any game, any movie, any TV show is pretty important because you got to hook me.
Yeah, you got to hook me for sure.
Like if I'm not enjoying myself for the first like 2 hours, like unless I have some kind of exterior influence saying like, oh, just get past the first two and then it becomes great. Like if it's just the game on itself and I had a bad 2 hours, I don't know if I'm going to keep playing that game.
Yeah, for sure. If you don't hook somebody in the first couple hours in a game, you failed. That's bad. Mainly because like, I mean, you're pushing the player through it. Like you need to get them to
theoretically the first, you know, hour or so should be like almost the best part of the game because it's the part of the game that every player is going to see.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what I think. And I'm sure developers do this where they kind of put in some of like more man hours, more, you know, it looks the best. It has the most interesting stuff visually and a really show stopping moment. Cause everyone will play that. And then you got to keep hooking them as long as you can, basically.
For sure. Yep. Rinku 588. Have you ever played a game that had a weak second act, but felt the third act helped save it for you? I'm gonna be real. I feel like most games are strong in the beginning, a little weaker for a while, and then strong at the end.
You know, I was gonna say, like, I can't think of something off the top of my head, but this just seems like the cookie cutter formula for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's probably a lot of the time because, again, they're hooking you at the beginning, so they want something pretty exciting. The ending has obviously got to be some big major finale.
Yeah.
That's got to be kind of a cool moment, whether it's like the final boss fight or what have you. And then the middle is often a lot of kind of, you know, I don't want to say padding, but it's kind of having to get you to the cooler moments, get you from one moment to the next. If we're like, you know, distilling this down to you know, something very binary almost.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of a specific game, though.
Yeah, I'm also trying to think of a specific game.
You know, I think of The Last of Us 2, and I don't think it follows this formula. I think it's more like I like the first two acts, and the third act, I feel, is the weakest.
Third act was very weak, yeah.
And then I think of Last of Us 1, and it's been so long since I played that. There's actually only like bits and
Last of Us 1 is a good example of this.
But Last of Us 1, that first 20 minutes, I'll never forget that. Like the last 20 minutes, I'll never forget that one. Like that has such a great beginning and ending.
That's actually why I replayed it, because I didn't remember fuck all of like the half of the game that I played after like the big intro thing.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of that game.
So, actually, so that's it's one of the answers for this is Last of Us 1 for sure. I feel like maybe Naughty Dog in general. I'm trying to remember the Uncharted games. But I don't remember.
It's hard. A lot of those, do they just like kind of like.
They're just set pieces.
Like flow together to me. And it's like set piece after set piece. I mean, I think of 2. I'll always remember the beginning of 2, climbing out of that train. That was fantastic.
I'll always remember the end of 2, Blue Man Group. Holy fuck.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. The first few Uncharted games had bad endings. Like the final boss fights
were
real bad.
The final act of Uncharted 1 is so funny, though, because I did not see that coming at all. What a weird game.
Yeah. I can't even remember. Was there even a final boss fight in 4?
I don't think I ever finished 4. They're all kind of mixed in my head.
You should finish 4, man.
That's the one with the brother, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I played a lot of it. I don't think I finished it, though.
All right, VGC Kenny writes, what bad game design do you enjoy?
I like tank controls quite a bit because I kind of grew up with them.
Yeah, that's... No, I don't agree with you at all. No, thank you. Bad game design. I don't know. If you're doing it for like a narrative reason, that can be kind of interesting. Like, I think of Last of Us is in my head, or I think of like Metal Gear when the character's like real hurt and they're moving slowly. Yeah, obviously that's not ideal, okay. But it's like it makes sense narratively. So I mean that stuff is totally fine.
Sure. Bad game design.
Swery's D4 had Kinect controls that were pretty goofy in terms of like what you had to do to manipulate that. So that was a pretty good one. Someone just said all of Deadly Premonition. That's a pretty good example. I feel like that's cheating.
That's a cop-out
answer.
Yeah. Like just from an aesthetic standpoint, I really like weird stilted like animation when it's not trying to be a realistic game. Like if Last of Us 2 had weird like facial animations and weird voice acting, that would be a turn off. But in Deadly Premonition, it's endearing. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stuff like that.
Do you have an example of a game that does have the bad stuff that you liked outside of Deadly Premonition?
Yeah. Like every Resident Evil game has the stupidest voice acting and.
Okay.
Shit sure. going on in it. Yeah. Actually, most 90s games with voice acting in general had some really fucking bad voice acting. Like House of the Dead.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Final question from Nedinsky. For Game and Wario, does facing the third-person camera in the giant bedroom stage of the taxi game and looking at the first-person view make your own face appear? That's a very specific question.
I have no idea.
Is there a way we could like look this up?
I don't know. They did kind of preface this as like question for Sean and the rest. I haven't played Game & Wario in years.
I don't think I've ever played it. So.
You should play Game & Wario. Well, I don't know if you need to get your Wii U out right now, but that's a great Wii U game.
Okay, fair enough. I just like how specific this question is. Maybe chat can answer. Chat, for Game & Wario, does facing the third person camera in the giant bedroom stage of the taxi game and looking in first person make your own face appear?
All right.
Great question.
People don't seem to know in the chat either. If you want to send in a question for next week, it's topdownrespective@gmail.com, @TDP Podcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's P.O. Box. What's your game of the week?
BMZ 2.
I'm going to give it to Last of Us 2.
Nice.
All right. John might be back next week. I'm not actually sure.
Yeah.
I forget what his schedule is for with stuff going on with his family. But stay tuned. Otherwise, definitely stay tuned to the Patreon because we're playing through SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated Edition. That's the game that won. I'm excited that I get to be playing it. I've never played it before.
Me neither. I've never even seen SpongeBob like a full episode, just memes.
That's insane to me.
Maybe I'll watch a couple episodes to prepare.
I can probably recommend you some good SpongeBob to watch.
If I just type into YouTube SpongeBob full episode, will I get the best ones?
I don't know about the best ones, but you will definitely get some. I think people should tweet at Paul what are the best SpongeBob episodes.
Sure.
Or, you know, tweet with the hashtag best Bob for Paul.
Best Bob?
So everyone go do that. People are saying Band Geeks, no question. That actually is the right answer. I'm surprised that everyone says that's the right answer. I agree with it, but it's just weird that like that is just an no one talks about that's the best one, but everyone knows it's the best one.
That is weird.
So I will recommend Band Geeks to you. Okay. People are saying watch the first movie. I barely remember that one. Although the game does reference some characters from the movie.
Okay. Or would it be better to like have an opinion not tainted by the show at all?
I think that would actually be super interesting if you came into that Patreon episode knowing nothing about SpongeBob and just being like, hey, what's the deal with Mr. Krabs, guys? Like, is his whole deal?
I've like absorbed by osmosis basic things. Like, I know what a Squidward is. And like,
okay.
I know Krusty Krab is like the burger plate. Like, I know things about it. I've never seen an episode though.
All right. Okay. Well, and then, I mean, either way, again, tweet at Paul, hashtag best Bob for Paul, which episodes he should watch. And we'll be back next week.
Bye.